So John, maybe you can extend a little bit, at least help me understand better, a little bit more about sort of when you see a patient with extensive stage disease up front, kind of trying to pigeonhole what their roughly what their risk of relapse is before we get into the Echelon 1 study. I have to say I found it interesting that in the control arm of Echelon 1, ABVD, the recurrence rate was pretty substantial. I think it was 27%. And one of the things as we talk about Echelon 1 is, you know, oncologists have struggled with a lot of numeracy issues over the years. And for example, in breast cancer, we even currently now, there are a lot of numeracy situations that, I don't know, I'm curious to see whether you think are relevant here. You know, in breast cancer, if you have granted recurrent disease in Hodgkin lymphoma, you can cure. Breast cancer, you can't. But you see a patient with breast cancer with a 27% chance of recurrence, generally they're pretty aggressive about, you know, trying to find every possible advantage. But anyhow, we'll see what you think about it. I'm curious what Justin thinks about it. But John, when you see a patient with an extensive stage disease, kind of what's the lowest their estimated risk of relapse would be and their highest with ABVD?
Yeah, so again, the Germans developed this prognostic score back in the 90s, you know, Hassenclever being the first author, which really is the best way to look at these patients and prognosticate from baseline as to how they're going to do. One of the things that we know that's happened over time is the performance of ABVD has gotten a little bit better over the years, and we can be a little more optimistic about how those patients do compared to the original paper, because even, you know, groups at a population level like the team in Vancouver have shown that the progression-free and overall survival in the modern era is better than what was originally quoted in the German paper. And so outside of those prognostic factors, probably the other important thing that stands out is something Craig already alluded to, which was age. And clearly the patients above the age of, you know, 45 was the risk factor in the original German series. But again, age over 60 or age over 70, where you start to think about how the treatment may be managed differently, clearly is the main group of people that we tend to see treatment failure in. The interesting thing, you know, looking at the Echelon 1 study compared to a lot of the other clinical trials that have been done with ABVD, is that the patient population had a higher proportion of people over the age of 60. I think it was about 15%, which is higher than any of the other studies that we've seen. And then secondly, it also had a reasonably high proportion of patients with higher risk disease looking at the prognostic score. So, you know, the danger of cross-trial comparison is always it's apples and oranges based on the population. But certainly in this one, the population is a little different than the UK study or others as an example.
So starting, Craig, with this case and this case presentation, what would you have estimated the risk of relapse with ABVD? And how specifically would you have approached the treatment of this patient's prior to seeing Echelon 1, then we'll bring in how Echelon 1 relates.
So as far as what you've told us so far, we have a male with stage 4 disease. I'm sure you probably have a little bit more laboratory information on the patient, because we have to decide which silo the patient fits into. Do they fit into favorable advanced stage Hodgkin lymphoma or unfavorable advanced stage Hodgkin lymphoma? So this is someone who we would fit into the column of favorable advanced. It sounds unfavorable. However, it turns out it is favorable advanced stage Hodgkin lymphoma. So the standard paradigm in our country now, so level one evidence from the NCCN guidelines is to use PET adapted therapy. And what that means is patients get two cycles of ABVD, and then there's a PET scan that's done based upon a scoring system called the Deauville scoring system. If patients have a score of 1, 2, or 3, bleomycin is dropped, and patients receive 4 more months of AVD. That's based upon the RATHL study. If the score is 4 or 5, then therapy is changed to escalated Biocop, which is a German regimen, and patients are finished with that treatment. And if you look at the data critically, patients that have a negative PET scan at interim have between an 80 and an 84% cure rate, and patients who have a positive PET scan at interim have between a 60 and a 70% cure rate. And I know Dr. Love mentioned the Echelon 1. Remember, the Echelon 1 compared patients to standard ABVD, not to PET-adapted therapy, which is one of the lymphoma docs worldwide are concerned about that comparison.
And we'll get into that in a second, but just to clarify again, with favorable extensive stage disease and this strategy, and you talked about the differences, but globally, what is the relapse rate in favorable stage disease using that strategy?
So that patient population has a failure rate of probably between 20 and 22%.
And what about for unfavorable disease?
So for unfavorable disease, I, for one, start with escalated Biocop. I believe the data is superior in that patient population. There's a recent paper in The Lancet in December updating, which is called the HD18, showing that escalated Biocop has close to a 90% cure rate at 4 years. It is, of course, more toxic, so I restrict the therapy for patients who have unfavorable disease. The French have a study where they give 2 cycles of escalated Biocop. If the PET scan is negative, they give ABVD, and the cure rate is 89% in this patient population.